Good morning, and welcome to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry, brought to you by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. It is a special privilege for us to be able to provide this broadcast each Sunday morning for your listening enjoyment and inspiration. Our broadcast is enjoyed by many different people in our area and community. We are grateful for your support. We thank you for your prayers and your financial gifts as well. Radio CJMQ covers a wide area. We have regular listeners in the eastern townships of Quebec and also in the states of Vermont and New Hampshire. We welcome your questions and comments. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. And you can access the program on the website of CJMQ, www.cjmq.fm.
Welcome to this broadcast of the Word of Grace this Sunday, 2 weeks after Easter 2023. My name is Nigel Parker, Minister of St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church, Sherbrooke, and I'm so pleased to have you here, whether you are live with me this Sunday morning or following the recording on the CJMQ website. Through CJMQ, we are broadcasting to the eastern townships of Quebec and beyond. It's a happy accident that the season of Easter in the Northern Hemisphere coincides with the arrival of spring. Poets of European descent and persuasion speak of how the world itself keeps Easter day, and Easter larks are singing, and Easter flowers are blooming gay, and Easter buds are springing. Alleluia, alleluia. While we marvel at the certainty and joy the poet offers, we recall that Easter was discovered in uncertainty and mystery. Is Jesus really risen from the dead? That was the question that was on the Emmaus Road that we think of today.
Morning has broken. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from. Spoken like the first bird.
Words of praise from Psalm 116. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice, he heard my cry for mercy. Because he turned his ear to me, I will call on him as long as I live. The cords of death entangled me, the anguish of the grave came over me, I was overcome by distress and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord, Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. Let us pray. Loving God, we gather, perhaps alone and by ourselves, by our radio or listening on the headphones to the recording. We may be alone, we may feel alone, but your Spirit is near to all who call upon you. We may be separate from other people as we listen and reflect today, but your Spirit joins us to your followers throughout all time and space. And it's amazing to remember that the stories we hear about you today have transformed so many other lives for so many centuries. Amazing to consider how lives not so very different from our own carried your love from one generation to another, from one church to another, from one part of the world to another. As we join together in worship this morning, by faith and in imagination, open our eyes to new opportunities to express our love for you and share your love in the lives we touch. For we are your people, and we praise you, our God. Week by week, we open our lives before you, acknowledging ways we sometimes lose track of you. We are driven and feel busy, and so we let other things come before you in our lives. Changes upend us, and we don't know where to turn. Forgive us when we forget that you are with us day by day. Renew us in your love, we pray. On the Emmaus Road, Jesus met friends who were discouraged and distracted by his death. Yet when he spoke God's word to them, their hearts burned within them. Hear God's word of forgiveness today. May the fire of God's love warm your hearts with his promise of peace and life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you. He's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. You who are weary, come home. Calling, O sinner, come home.
A gospel reading from Luke chapter 24 at verse 13. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" And they stood still, their faces downcast. And one of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening, the day is almost over." And so he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told them what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Amen.
Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercies for you and for me? Come home, come home, you who are weary, come home earnestly. Come home sing, oh sinner, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home.
Most of us have walked the road to Emmaus. Now, only a very few of us may have ever actually been on the actual road from Jerusalem to the village of that name. But most of us have, at some time or another, walked the road that the two disciples walked in our Gospel story. The road to Emmaus is the road to giving up. It is the road of disillusionment, of despair, of throwing in the towel. It's the road of turning our backs on the bright hopes of tomorrow and resigning ourselves to the shattered dreams and endless days ahead of just putting one foot in front of another with nothing much to look forward to. It is the road we trudge when everything we had invested our hopes in has gone up in smoke, and so now living is nothing more than surviving. There's no meaning, no direction, no promise, just nothing. Whether it is a relationship failure or unemployment or chronic illness or an accident or disaster or betrayal by friends or the inability to conquer your own personal demons that keep dragging you back to the same destructive attitudes and behaviours, most of us, at some time or another, maybe even here, now, today, know the defeated trudge of the Emmaus Road. Look at these two disciples in the story. Cleopas and his unnamed companion. Was it his wife? How do they describe their crushed hopes? We had hoped that this Jesus was the one to redeem Israel. And disciples like Cleopas and his companion had put all their eggs in this basket. They had thrown their lot in with Jesus for better or for worse, but believing only in the better. Judas was the first to give up. When he finally lost his faith that Jesus would take up the sword and seize power, he turned Jesus over to his enemies and went off and hung himself. And now the forces that they had hoped Jesus was going to free them from have triumphed violently and emphatically, and Jesus is dead and buried, and all of them are crushed and humiliated. Peter, James, John, they're going to go back to the fishing. Mary is putting flowers on the grave. Cleopas and his partner are trudging back to Emmaus. It's all over, gone, finished, snuffed out, dead. They are so thoroughly crushed, they don't even recognize Jesus when he appears. The resurrection was no trick of wishful thinking, because all wishful thinking had been extinguished. Mary doesn't wishfully mistake the gardener for Jesus. She despondently mistakes Jesus for the gardener. Cleopas and his partner don't wishfully mistake a stranger for Jesus. They despondently mistake Jesus for a stranger. Despair has blinded them to the truth. But it is there on the road to Emmaus, the road of despair, the road of giving up, that Jesus meets them and us. It is from the stomped down ashes of their abandoned hopes that he begins to open up to them the truth of who God is and of what the scriptures mean and of how God is really defeating the violence and oppression and sin of the world. Most of us are, or have been, carrying the same sort of hopes as maybe those first followers did. We look for and believe that God has promised sunshine to all who give their allegiance to him. And when we give him our allegiance, that he will ride into our lives and set everything right, vanquishing our enemies and placing us on the throne we think we deserve. And maybe we have to be put on the road to Emmaus before we can be open to something new. As Jesus puts it, if you had understood all the prophets had declared, you would have known that it was necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory. But we didn't know, because we were still interpreting the scriptures through our own fantasies of victory and honour and triumph, we didn't hear the word, "Take up your cross and follow me." The Jesus who meets us on the road is still scarred by the violence of his death. He is at one and the same time the risen Messiah and the suffering servant. He is simultaneously the crushed victim and the merciful Lord who comes to us without a shadow of resentment or vengefulness. This is the Messiah who, when we were still his enemies, died for us, that we might be reconciled to God. This is a Messiah who destroys his enemies by reaching out with nail-scarred hands and making them his friends. So in this way, the victory of God is won not through wreaking vengeance on our enemies, but in absorbing the worst that death and violence, hostility and sin can dish out, rising to life again, but without having been reduced to toxic bitterness and resentment and vengefulness. This Messiah defeats violence and hostility and sin by absorbing them in his own body and not giving them back, just soaking them up and returning only gracious mercy and love and kindness. Let us pray. God our Maker, you have walked the Emmaus Road with your faithful people in many generations, people facing challenge and uncertainty, people seeking your purpose and your promise. We thank you that Jesus lived a life amongst us, and though he was condemned to death and crucified by the religious, you raised him from the dead and made him both Lord and Messiah. Risen indeed he is with us always. And now in the breaking of bread and your living and enduring word, our eyes are opened and our hearts are set on fire with love. Thank you for your faithfulness to us in all situations. Walk with us and with those for whom we pray this day, that your grace and mercy may sustain our faith and hope. We pray for those for whom age or experience, illness or disability create barriers to full participation in your world. Give each one a sense of dignity and purpose. Show them where their gifts are needed and how much they matter to you. We pray for our communities challenged by forces beyond their control, economic uncertainty, environmental stress, natural disaster, political strife, violence and war in the Ukraine, in Sudan, and other places in the world. Give courage to those facing these crises day by day, especially those in your church, and give wisdom to those who lead others through them, that well-being may be restored and hope for the future prevail. We pray for our congregations and churches, for our life together and our future in mission. That future can feel so challenging. It's hard to read the signs of our times and respond wisely. Sustain our fellowship and give us courage to take new paths so that you will find us faithful on our journey into that future. And we pray for the well-being of those whose lives are linked to ours, who bring us both joy and heartache because they matter so much to us. God our Maker, hear our prayers, spoken and unspoken, and use us in ways that we may not even imagine to respond to others with the love and mercy we see in Jesus Christ, who taught us in praying to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory for ever and ever. Amen. Thank you for being with me this morning. I encourage you to be with God's people in a fellowship or congregation where the good news of Jesus is lived out and shared. May it be that through the preaching of the word and the breaking of bread and the fellowship of his people, Jesus' presence is made known. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen.
You've been listening to the Word of Grace broadcast ministry brought to you each Sunday at this time by St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church in Sherbrooke, Quebec. Our church is located on Queen Street in Lennoxville. We have a strong tradition of service in this area. We continue to work for the advancement of Christ's kingdom. We honor the past and welcome the future by being faithful in the present. I encourage you to worship in a church of your choice, a place where you can grow in your faith and actively serve in the cause of Christ. Our prayer is that each church in our community will be blessed as we are faithful to God. Please consider supporting our broadcast with a financial donation. We rely upon your support. Tax receipts are issued for contributions. Our mailing address is The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec. The postal code is J1M1Z6. The Word of Grace, Box 404, Sherbrooke, Quebec, J1M1Z6. Bye for now. Thanks for listening, and may God's blessing be with each one of us.